see a very clear and powerful promise that Jesus is coming again. Amen.
Amen.
I'm so thankful tonight that Jesus is coming again. I'm glad I'm a child of God. And like verse number 13, I'm glad I ain't one of those that ain't got no hope tonight. But my blessed hope, the Bible said in Titus chapter number 2, verse number 13, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to do my best tonight to preach on the second coming of Christ. And preach on this thought of when Jesus comes again. When Jesus comes again. I want to give you three things tonight that's going to take place and that's going to be involved when Jesus comes again. Number one, I want you to see in our text tonight the participants that will be involved in His coming. The participants that'll be involved in His coming. You know what? Real quickly, let me just say it like this. In verse number 16, I want you to see that the Savior will be involved in His coming. I like it. One of my favorite verses in all the Bible is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 16, where it says, "For the Lord Himself shall descend." Except for the Lord Himself.
Right.
When Jesus comes again, He ain't going to be sending the angels.
Right.
When Jesus comes again, He's not going to be sending the saints.
Come on, preacher.
Gone on. When Jesus comes again, He ain't going to be sending the elders to come get His bride.
Right.
Oh, no, but when Jesus comes again, it'll be the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's it, man. That's
Jesus
right.
God, and He is coming back to get
His good
bride.
Preaching.
Amen. I'm talking about the one that was born of a virgin. I'm talking about the one that lived 33 years perfect and sinless.
Right.
I'm talking about the one that climbed Calvary's hill for you.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the one that died on an old rugged cross.
Come on, preacher.
For your sin. I'm talking about the one that 3 days later got up out of the grave.
Yeah,
I'm talking about the one that's making intercession for you and me tonight.
Right.
That's who's coming when Jesus comes again.
Amen, yeah, preacher.
He's coming.
Yeah.
Jesus is coming.
Yeah.
Don't let that excite you tonight.
Come on, preacher.
But Jesus is coming.
Preach, preacher.
He is coming.
Yep.
Nobody else, son.
Amen.
I'm glad He said the Lord Himself shall descend. Not only do you think about the Savior will be involved, but I want you to say, think about this, the sounds that'll be involved in His coming that day. There's three sounds right here in the text that we're going to be able to hear when Jesus comes again. Verse number 16 said, the voice of the archangel.
Yeah.
When Jesus comes again, Brother Brian, we're going to be able to hear the voice of the archangel.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't know what that meant not that long ago, and I had to study. Now, I've quoted the verse all my life, but I didn't really understand what it meant when it said in the voice of the archangel. And I'm getting to study it. It ain't good.
Come on.
I'll just put it like that. It ain't good for this world.
Right.
Because what the voice of the archangel means for this world is ruin.
Yep. Amen.
That's what it means. It means ruin for this world.
Yep.
You say, why? Because the voice of the archangel, it sends the angels forth to war.
Right.
That's what it does. When the rapture takes place, here's what I want you to understand tonight. Amnesty is over.
Yep.
When Jesus comes back, all the good times for this world is going to be gone. The Bible, when it talks about the voice of the archangel, here's what I want you to think about tonight. When you hear the voice of the archangel one day, it's just, in other words, it's saying this, that God has broken off diplomatic relations with the world.
Right.
That crucified His only begotten Son.
Right. Amen.
You think about that. God's only Son came to this world, and this world put His only Son on a cross. This world put Jesus, the only begotten of the Father, crucified Him in front of all mankind.
Right.
And when Jesus, when the voice of the archangel sounds, it means that all the peace, all the mercy, all the grace on this world, it's over for
right.
Him.
Amen.
That's what it means.
Yep.
So we're going to be able to hear the voice of the archangel. But not only do you hear that in that verse, but verse number 16, you also see the trump of God.
Yeah.
The trumpet's going to sound.
Amen.
Now let me say this. I'm going to ruin some theology for you right here.
Come on.
I tonight am not listening for the trumpet.
Right.
Let me just go ahead and say that, and I'll explain to you in a second. All right?
Come on.
I like this part. I ain't listening now. I've heard that. When old Gabriel blows the trumpet. Y'all ever heard that old song? And I like it, old song. I like it. I sing it all the day long. But I'm not listening for the trumpet. You say, preacher, why is that? Because the trumpet is not for me.
Right.
You say, preacher, who's the trump for? The trump is for the Jews.
Yeah.
I want you to understand that. Because when the trump sounds, it means that God is sounding the alarm for the Jews. You say, preacher, are you sure? Oh, yeah. You got to study your Bible.
Yeah.
You see, all the way back in the Old Testament with the nation of Israel, the trumpet was used all the time for the nation of Israel. The trumpet was used to announce feasts. The trumpet was used to announce various celebrations. The trumpet was used to assemble a sacred assembly. The trumpet was used to bring a crowd. The trumpet was used to make an announcement.
Come on.
And you know what? When the trumpet sounds, what it's saying to the nation of Israel is that God is about to resume His Old Testament dealings
right.
with the Jews.
Yep. Amen.
Now, we ain't living in the Old Testament. Praise God, there's a new and living way.
Thank God.
That's what happened when Jesus died on the cross. He brought grace and truth. Came by the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to John chapter 1. Now, look right here. We are living in a parenthetical space of time.
Sure.
Now, that was some big words. So let me try to explain it. Y'all ever been parentheses in school?
Yeah.
It's in between. Now, what was said before and what's said after is going to continue. But right in between, something needs to be said. That's where we are. You say, where are we? What is it? It's called the church age.
Right.
It's called the day of grace. And it's what we're living in right now. Now, I'll say this. Thanks be to God that I was born and raised in the day of grace.
Thank God.
Oh,
amen.
Hallelujah, son. I'm so glad that I was born in the church age.
Right. Amen.
It's a good thing. But we are really just a very small part of the whole thing.
Yeah.
God's dealing with the Jews. Jesus came to this world. His own received Him not. They rejected Him. John chapter 1, verse number 10, 11. Y'all got to stay with me now. I'm
Come on.
Fast, okay? He came, dealt with the Jews in the Old Testament. Jesus came to the Jews. They didn't want to hear what He had to say.
Right.
They didn't believe Him. Said He's a mockery. Didn't believe Him. He said, how can you say that you and God's one? And so He turned His focus. Hallelujah, son.
Thank God.
I said He turned His focus
yeah.
to the Gentiles, to those worthless, no good for nothing, dirty, rotten Gentile dogs like us.
Thank
and
God.
And began to show grace on us that were nothing but rotten dogs in our sin.
Amen.
And that's what God's been doing for the last 2,000 years.
Come on.
But when the trump of God sounds, the church age is going to end.
Right.
The day of grace is going to end. And God's going to begin to resume His dealings with the Jews.
Yeah.
We're going to hear the voice of the archangel. We're going to hear the trump of God. But I like this one. We're going to hear a shout. The sound that's involved now. The Bible talks about it in verse number 16. Now this shout is significant, son. Oh my goodness. See, Jesus promised that there would come a day when the dead would hear His voice in John chapter number 5.
Yep.
That's what He's talking about. He was referencing the second coming. It was this shout that we're going to hear that day that I believe Lazarus heard in the grave. And when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And he came out because he heard the voice of the Lord Jesus
right.
Christ. This shout right here, when Jesus comes back, this shout is also referring to a military command. Because Jesus is calling all the host of heaven to assemble for military action against the domain of the enemy, this world. And I'll get to that in a second. I told you that I'm not listening for the trumpet. I'm not listening for the voice of the archangel, but I'm listening for my bridegroom's voice.
Right. Amen.
That's what I'm listening for tonight. For the Lord Himself shall ascend from heaven with a shout.
Amen.
Jesus is a coming with a shout. I'm so glad Jesus is coming with a shout.
Amen.
That makes me feel pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Shouting every
Amen, preacher.
Because if Jesus is coming with a shout, I might as well shout every once in a while, too.
There you Amen. Go. Amen.
You say, well, you know, I'd like to go down to that church down there, but that preacher's just too loud for me.
Come on, preacher.
I'd like to go hear that Brother Simpson, but he just shouts all the time. Don't go to heaven.
Amen.
Because it's going to be shouting over there.
Oh, yes.
I say like yes. Don't go to hell either.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be just as loud down there.
Sure.
Can I say this tonight? It's all right to shout.
Amen.
It's all yeah. right to lift up your voice.
Right.
In fact, I believe you ought to shout.
Amen.
Amen. I ain't going there tonight, but I believe you should. If Jesus is coming back with a shout, then why shouldn't we shout?
Amen.
Praise God, one of these days we're going to be, I don't know what I'm going to be doing. I might be walking the dog outside. I don't know. But all of a sudden, out of nowhere, son, I don't know what He's going to say. I might get to that in a minute, but I don't know what exactly what He's going to say, but I'm going to hear the voice of my Savior shout out from the sky and said, I'm getting out of here.
Amen.
He's coming back with a shout out.
Right.
He's coming back with a commanding shout.
Yeah.
You say, preacher, what's he commanding? I tell exactly what he's commanding. He's coming back with a commanding shout that's going to command the graves to let them out.
Right. Amen.
He's going to be commanding the devil and his demons to let them through.
Yeah.
And he's commanding all of heaven to let us in.
Amen.
Jesus is coming back with a shout.
That's good preaching, preacher.
I'm talking about the sounds that will be involved that day. So,
amen. That's
you
good.
See, the Savior will be involved. The sounds that will be involved. But I like this one. The saints are going to be involved when Jesus comes again.
Yeah.
Now, I'm glad tonight that Jesus is going to be there that day when he comes back. And I'm looking forward to hearing all those sounds. But more than those, more than all that, I'm so glad that I'm going to be a part of what's going to be going on that day. And I'm not going to stay here. Son, I'm glad that the rapture is going to take place.
Yeah,
man. I'm getting out of here, friend.
Praise God.
You know what the rapture is going to do? The rapture is going to include all the saints.
Right. Amen.
Some people believe in a partial rapture. They don't read their Bible.
Come on. Preach.
It ain't going to include part of us. There's no such thing as a partial rapture.
Right.
It will not be an event for a select few very spirit-filled people.
Come on.
But it will be a time when everybody that's been saved by the good grace of God is going to get out of here.
Yep, man, preacher.
The only way anyone goes that day is because they put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He's a-coming. Jesus is going to be involved. The sounds that are going to be involved. But thank God I'm going to be involved.
Amen.
Ain't you glad you're going to be involved in that?
Oh, yes.
So I'm going to get out of here. The rapture is going to include all the saints. But I'll say this. The rapture will include only the saints.
Right.
Only the saints. When Jesus comes again, there's going to be a lot of good people. There's going to be a lot of religious people.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of moral, good, just salt of the earth people.
Yeah.
That's going to be left behind on that day. I believe when Jesus comes back, that there's going to be church members that'll be left behind.
Yeah.
When he comes back.
You're right.
I'm going to go this far right now. I believe if Jesus came back right now, I'm talking about right now.
Yeah.
That there's probably somebody sitting in our midst right now.
Yeah.
According to the odds.
Yeah.
According to leading the Holy Spirit in my soul.
Go ahead, preacher.
There's probably somebody here right now that if Jesus were to come back right now, that fast, you'd be left behind.
Yep. Amen.
If Jesus were to come back right now, are you ready?
Come on, preacher.
This ain't a hope-so thing.
Right.
You better not say, well, I hope so. Well, I think so. Well, maybe so. No, it's a no-so.
Right.
So,
amen.
Bible said in Matthew chapter 24, verse number 44, therefore be also ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man come.
Right.
He's a coming.
Amen.
He's a coming.
Yep.
He's coming. You better be ready for it. He's coming. Ain't going to be able to get ready on that day.
Yep, that's right.
You hear the voice of the archangel and the trump of God and the shout of the Savior. You ain't going to have time to get things settled.
Yeah.
It's going to be in a blink, in the twinkling of an eye is what the Bible said.
Amen.
That's what it's going to be like. That's how fast.
Yeah.
You better be ready.
Amen.
So you see the participants that are going to be involved. Let me give you another one, this one quickly. The power involved in his coming. I like this. It's pretty fun to think about. I want you to think about there will be the power of resurrection. I said in verse number 13, Paul said, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Now the Thessalonians and the church of Thessalonica, I think they believed in the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. They believed in that. But they had some trouble when it came to their loved ones that was already in the ground. They had some trouble. That's why God inspired Paul to write them this.
Yeah.
It seemed like they was worried about those loved ones that had done gone home.
Right.
You study it out, you'll find out that I'm telling you the truth.
Yep.
They had many questions. So God inspired Paul with these two epistles to the church of Thessalonica to clear some things up. Now let me say this tonight. For those that are outside of Christ, you say, what's that mean? If you're here tonight, you've never been saved.
Come on, preacher.
If you're here tonight and you're lost, let me say this about death. It's cruel.
Yeah.
It's bitter.
Amen.
It's final. It's callous.
Right.
It's utterly uncaring.
Come on.
Death is the end. for you tonight, if you've never been saved,
yeah.
Death is ugly. Death is menacing. Death is inescapable. That's what it is.
Come on.
It's an awful thing tonight. If you've not been saved,
right.
If you're lost tonight, you better fear death.
Come on.
Did you hear what I just said? If you were lost tonight, I'd be scared to death to get in a car.
Right.
I'd be scared to death to get in an airplane. I'd really be scared to death just to go outside. So
yeah.
I'd be afraid, because if I was here lost tonight and I died on my way home, there would be no other chances.
Right.
You'd heard the gospel. You've heard the gospel all week long. I've done my best to give you the gospel every single night. And you ain't going to have another chance, because death, for those that's outside of Christ, it's the end. There ain't no such thing as purgatory. There ain't
right.
no such thing as utter darkness.
Right.
But there's heaven and there's hell.
Right.
And if you've never been saved tonight, then
preach,
death
preacher.
Is the end.
You're right.
It's the end, friend.
Yep.
Oh, it would terrify me. But for those of us that are saved, son, death ain't got one bit of a hold on me.
Preach, preacher.
I ain't scared
That's
one
good.
Bit of death. It don't bother me. It don't keep me up at night.
Come
it
on.
Don't bother me one bit, because I'm so glad. He said,
preach,
I would not have you be ignorant, brethren. He said, hey, look up in here. Those that are asleep, hey, son, when Jesus comes again, they're going to be the first ones out of here.
Right. Amen.
We're getting out of here. Those loved ones that you lost, if they died in faith, don't you worry about them. They're probably going to beat you there. Amen.
Amen.
It's going to be a good, good day when Jesus comes again.
Amen.
For those of us that are saved, if you're here tonight and you're lost, yeah. It'll be the worst day you've ever had in life. Nothing can compare to it. We sorrow when we lose a loved one, but thank God for the truth of the Word of God.
Yeah.
That is really just a temporary sorrow.
Right.
Because there's a better day coming for the child of God.
Amen.
You see the power of the resurrection. Then there's the power of the rapture in these verses. Paul says that when the rapture comes, we'll be caught up. That's what it means. Caught up, you studied out. You know the word rapture ain't even in the Bible.
Right.
There's your verse, your bubble. But you study out caught up, and you come to where we get our English word rapture.
Right.
And you know what that word rapture means? It means this. I like this, y'all. It means a strong, irresistible, and violent act. That's what the phrase caught up means.
Yeah.
It means to seize by force.
Yeah.
It means to carry off by force.
Yeah.
It means to claim for oneself eagerly.
Yep.
That's what the words caught up means. And in the rapture, the Lord Jesus Christ, He's coming to claim His bride.
Yeah. Amen.
And when He comes, there will be no staying if you're a child of God. Don't matter if you want to go or not.
Right.
If you're saved, son, you ain't got a choice about it.
Amen.
Because He's coming with a strong, irresistible, and a violent act to seize by force.
Right. Amen.
That's what it means. Ain't
yeah.
that amazing? I love it. You study out the word rapture. It means to pluck up. But that ain't all it means. It means to pluck up by the roots and all.
Yeah.
All of it, son. To pluck up by the roots and all. Now, I got a little flower bed at home. I ain't home enough to keep it up. But I try. I planted some pansies out there this winter, praise the Lord. I love pansies. The flowers. I ain't got one red sickle of pansies as well, son. Maybe you learn to get you some dirt on your fingernails. That's what helps some of us, fellas. But I love them flowers. I was out there, man. I got my kids out there the other day, and we was picking up weeds out of my little walkway. I got big black rock in there, and green with black, it shows, son. We was picking them up, and they was whining because they're just kids. That's just what they do. But I was trying to make them tough, praise the Lord. I'd pick some of them weeds up, and all the roots would just come right out. I wouldn't even struggle. It would just come right up. But then some of them hard-headed things, I have to dig way down with my fingers to get all them roots out.
Yeah.
Because they got the roots way down deep into the earth.
Yeah.
But whether they liked it or not, son, I'm getting them out.
Yeah.
Now,
come on, preacher.
When Jesus comes again,
yeah.
He said He's going to caught up. That means to plug by the roots and all. Here's what I want to say to you. I don't want Jesus to have to pull too hard on me.
Right. Amen.
I don't want my roots too far.
Yeah. Amen.
That's what I was saying. Because it don't matter really whether or not you got them deep or not. Because the moral of the story is this. When Jesus comes, we're getting out of here.
Amen.
That's it. You see the power that's going to be involved. I could say a whole lot more, but let me give you the last point. This is really what I wanted to get to. You see the participants that will be involved. The power that will be involved. But then lastly, you see the promise involved in His coming. The promise for the promises. I want to show you a few promises in these verses. First of all, I see the promise of rescue. You say, preacher, what is that? Because in these verses, when Jesus descends from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, He goes to verse number 17, and it said, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. Here it is. You ready? In the air. I'm talking about the promise of rescue. He said, preacher, I really don't know what you... Let me just get there. He said they're going to meet Him in the air. Now, that's significant. Yeah. Because according to the New Testament, the air is the abode of Satan himself. The devil abides in the air.
Right.
Say, oh, preacher, are you sure? Well, let me just give you some Bible. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter number 2, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the
air. Yep.
The Bible said in Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Yeah. The Bible talks about even in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 4, and He calls the devil this, in whom the God of this world
has
blinded the minds of them which believe not. When Jesus comes again, let me show you something that really blessed the socks off of you. You ready? When Jesus comes again, He's coming directly through enemy territory.
Oh, yes.
Now, this will help you. When He calls us up, when we're getting out of here, I'm talking about the promise of rescue. He's not going to call us up, going to bypass where the devil is and stay. No, that's not what I believe at all. Because what Jesus is going to do, He's going to bring us up right through where the devils have been a-working for all these years.
Yep, amen.
You say, preacher, why in the world is Jesus going to do that? Because I believe just one more time on this world that the Lord and God wants to just show the devil who's in charge.
Right, amen. That's good.
He wants to let it know one more time, you ain't got nothing on
this
old
preacher.
Son. Watch this. I'm going to come right through your bedroom, son. I'm going to kick out the back door, and you ain't got a thing you can do about it.
Preach, preacher.
Hey, he's coming to get us in the air, friend.
Thank God.
The devil ain't got nothing he can do about it.
Amen,
I'll
preacher.
Just stick that in your pipe and smoke it.
Come on, preacher. That's good.
Yeah, man, he can't do a thing about it.
Right.
Amen. Yeah, man, watch it like Barney. Stick that in your snipe and poke it. Amen. Amen. Thank God for Andy Griffin. He's coming to get us in the air.
Yeah.
Amen.
In the air. Devil is awful. He's terrible. I'd love to punch him right between his eyeballs. That's what I'd like to do. I probably never get to do that. I'm going to be there in Revelation chapter 10 when God, or Revelation chapter 20 when God throws him in the lake of fire. That's going to be a good day.
Amen.
But I'm looking forward to the moment that God takes us right up through where He's been at work. Oh, that's good stuff.
Amen.
That may not help you, but son, that fires me up.
That's good preaching.
You see the promise of rescue? But I like this one real quickly. You see the promise of reunion in these verses. Because the Bible said, for the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. All that good stuff. And in verse number 17, He says this. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Here it is.
Together. Hallelujah.
With them. Amen. You say, preacher, who's that talking about? What it said at the end of verse number 16. The dead in Christ. Mm. That's who is it talking about. I don't know how it's going to happen. I ain't got it down. I don't know. But for some way, somehow, God's going to get us all together.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Now, I don't know why the dead in Christ got to rise first. I got some theories on that. I'll give you mine. And this is, I'm being honest. You're going to laugh about it, but it's fine. I believe the dead in Christ is going to rise first because I got 6 feet farther to go.
What about that? Man.
That's just a thought. I don't know. But I think so. Here's what I believe. I believe that He wouldn't have put it in there if He didn't mean what He said.
Yeah.
He said, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together Now watch. We're going to be caught up together. We're not going to be together in the clouds. We're going to be caught up together.
Yeah.
Now we can read right over that and really miss what it's a meaning.
Come on.
What it means is this. Before the moment that we all get out of this, off this ground, we're going to get together.
Yeah.
And then we're going to be caught up together.
Amen.
That's what's going to happen. Now here's what I believe. All right. This is sense analogy. Now you take it what you will. I believe this. When we get to heaven, our sole focus, the only thing that's going to be on our mind, and this helps my heart. Let me get there for you, all right, because you don't know what I'm about to say. When we get there, the only thing that's going to matter to us is one thing, is Jesus.
Yeah, amen.
That's the only thing. Now I love all the other stuff in heaven. I'm looking forward to seeing everything else. I'm looking forward to seeing the angels and Michael and Gabriel, and I'm looking forward to seeing Paul and talking to Moses about what them waters looked like when they parted. I'm looking forward to all that good stuff. But the number one thing that's going to be on all of our minds and all of our beings is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, amen.
That's the truth.
Amen.
Here's what I believe. Why we're going to be caught up together. I don't know how long it is because ain't no Bible about it. I'm not going to give you any time about it. Here's what I believe. That God loves us so much. That God's going to let us have a reunion with our loved ones that's done going on. And give us that time. Now, I told you this is Simpsonology, so you take it for what you will. I believe He loves us so much that He knows when we get there, He's going to be the focus.
Yeah.
And so before we ever get there, I believe God's going to let us meet up with our loved ones that's done going on. And we're going to get to have a reunion with them, hug their neck, hold their hand as Jesus calls us up.
Amen, preacher.
Now, I'm young. I ain't lost that many people in my life.
Come on, preacher.
But there's some of us in here tonight that's lost a lot of people in our life.
Yeah.
My grandpa, you know my papa. Brother Allen says this. He said, I done got more people on that side than I do on this side.
Right.
And that's just how it goes as you get older in life. You get your loved ones pass on, mom and daddy, brothers and sisters, and they go on. And you learn to find out you're going to have more over there than you do in this moment
right
here. And I'm telling you what, Sam. Blesses my soul.
Come on, preacher.
I told you I ain't lost many people, but I do know what it feels like to lose somebody.
Yeah.
Something last summer.
Go ahead, preacher.
My uncle come down with cancer. 53 years old.
Yeah.
He wasn't supposed to die. He wasn't supposed to leave his work.
Come on, preacher.
So they hit him hard. And within a year, he was in glory.
Yeah.
So it's still hard. It's hard to talk about. You know what that feels like. It's hard to think about. I think about him every day, and he was just my uncle. I can't imagine what it's like to have a daddy that's no longer with you.
Come on.
Or a wife or a husband. But I got good news for us tonight.
Come on, preacher. Preach.
I got good news for us. It ain't the end.
Yeah. Hey, man.
There's going to be a glad reunion day.
Preach,
with all
preacher.
All those that's done gone on. So we're going to get together with them again.
Yeah. Yes. Come on.
Woo!
Oh, yeah.
Son, that blesses my soul.
Yeah.
That mama that prayed for you for all them years. That daddy that brought you to church all them years. Son, he's going to be awaiting on you when Jesus comes again. There's
going
to be a reunion. Son, it's a promise that we're going to get to see him again. Praise
God.
Oh, hallelujah. It's going to be the promise of rescue. There's going to be the promise of reunion. But I give you this. There's going to be the promise of revelation.
Come on.
You say, preacher, why is that? Because it said, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Amen.
Now I'm looking forward to seeing my grandpa. Now I'm looking forward to seeing Uncle Andy. And I'm looking forward to seeing preachers that's done gone on. Mentors in my life.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing loved ones that's done passed on.
Yeah.
But all of that pales in comparison to the moment that I get to lay my eyes on the one that died for me.
Come on,
I get
preacher.
To lay my eyes on the one that gave up everything.
Yep.
For a sinner like me, friend, it's going to be a blessed day, friend. The promise of revelation. Good night. Could you just imagine for a minute the first time you get to see his face?
Come on, preacher.
I'm talking about Jesus.
Yep. Amen.
Can you just imagine the first time you get to look on his nail prints on his head and you get to see the nail prints in his feet?
Yeah.
And you get to see the one that died and bled for your soul? Son, that's going to be a good day.
That's good preaching.
Oh, what a day, glorious day that will be.
Yeah.
So there's going to be the promise of rescue, the promise of reunion, the promise of revelation. But I believe in this verse, if you just look at it like I do for a second, I believe you see the promise of rejoicing.
Come on.
You said, preacher, what in the world? I don't see it in that verse. Let me just say it with the same words I just said. And so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Amen.
I want you to think about them words for just a moment. So shall we ever be with the Lord. I don't think I have to stretch it too much. I don't think I have to go too far and too deep to struggle to get this right here. But I believe that might just imply that you and I are going to be wherever He is forever.
Amen. That's right.
I said you and I are going to be where He is forever. In fact, He said that in John chapter 14, verse number 3. And I'm telling you right now, whether it be in heaven around the Father's throne, or whether it be on this earth reigning with Him in the millennial reign for 1,000 years,
right.
I tell you one thing, it's going to be a time of endless worship. It's going to be a time of endless praise. It'll be a time free from sin, filled with the glory. Free enough. It'll be a time when all the tears are wiped away from our eyes.
It'll be
a time when all sorrow is in the past.
Preach, preacher.
That sounds like a good reason to rejoice.
Oh, yes.
That one day, friend, things are coming back. All the bad things are going to be behind us.
Right.
All the sorrows are going to be in the past.
Come on.
It's a promise to rejoice because ain't never been a day like that day.
Hallelujah.
Jesus comes again.
Preach.
Oh, yes, friend. I believe this could be the day, by the way.
Yeah. Amen.
I said, I believe this could be the day.
Oh, yeah.
That Jesus comes again. Here's what I did tonight. I said, all that to say this right here. I said, I believe it could be the day that Jesus comes again.
Yeah.
So here, listen. It ain't time to quit.
Yep. Amen.
It ain't time to give up.
Come on.
It ain't time to start being less faithful. Son, it's time to get in. It's time to sell out because this could be the day that Jesus comes again.
Preach, preacher.
Oh, yes, friend. It ain't time to get sorry for yourself. It ain't time to throw in the towel, son. It's time to light a fire under your hiney and serve God.
Let's go. Amen.
Oh, but preacher, this world's so wicked. It's so ungodly. It's awful. It should not surprise us.
Right.
The shape of this world.
Yep.
Don't get caught up on it. It shouldn't surprise you. He said it'd be that way.
Yep.
Bible said that evil men and seducers shall act worse and worse. Bible said this. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come.
Yep.
It ain't time to quit because it looks dark outside.
Right.
It ain't time to give up because it's getting bleak around your workplace. Son, it ain't time to look around at what's going on. It's a time to look up because our redemption draweth nigh.
Right.
You say, preacher, are you sure we're supposed to be looking for His coming? I thought we weren't supposed to be looking for signs. Well, you need to read your Bible.
Come on, preacher.
I've said Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 25. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as a manner of some of us, but so much the more, except but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye
see. Yeah.
The day approaching. He said, as ye see.
Yeah.
The day approaching. It ought not discourage you when you look around at how wicked our world's gotten.
Right.
It ought not to get you down in the dumps. I've said it be that way.
Yeah.
When I tell you what I do, when I look around and I see the shape of this world, some of the Holy Spirit's on the inside of my soul saying, He's coming.
Amen.
He's coming. Hey, it's about time, son. It's a time to get your jumping shoes on.
Right.
Because it's about that time that Jesus comes back to get His bride, son. That's what's about to happen.
That's
I'm just
going
to be with
preacher.
You right here. It's about time to rejoice. Son, you ought to
oh,
shout
yes.
that this world's not your home.
Come
you
on,
ought
preacher.
To shout that Jesus is coming for you.
Amen.
Oh, yes, you ought to. Amen. You ain't got to live in this world forever, is what I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah, amen.
There's a better day coming.
Yep.
Oh, there's a better day coming. Hallelujah, son.
That's good preaching.
That makes me want to preach my gallbladder.
Amen. Preach.
Man, let me show you something. I'm going to steal something from my daddy. He's probably used it here, but God said do it tonight.
Amen.
Right. Preach. The Bible in Revelation chapter 1, 2, and 3. I talked about it a minute ago. I talked about we're living in that parenthetical space of time. That space of grace.
Yeah.
Wonderful. That space is detailed in Revelation chapter 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
It's called the church age. That's what it is.
Yeah.
I believe... In fact, won't you just turn there? Would you turn there with me? I think it'd be all right for you to be able to see it in your own Bible.
Amen.
Revelation, chapter number 3 and chapter number 4. I want you to look at it with me. I'm going to read one verse anyway. You see, Revelation chapter number 4, is a picture of the rapture of the church.
Yeah.
Look at Revelation chapter 4, verse number 1. The Bible said this. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee these things which must be hereafter. That's a picture of the rapture.
Yeah.
You say, preacher, what's Jesus going to shout when he gets when he comes to get us back? It might be those words, come up hither.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's the best I got. Because it don't tell us, but I think that's what he's going to say.
Amen.
Come up hither. Now, that's the rapture of the church. Look right here now. Look at chapter number 3. Y'all all know this. I'm not going to read much of it. But in chapter number 3 and verse number 14 all the way down through verse number 22. If you have a student of the Word of God tonight, you'll know this. That is the church of Laodicea.
Right.
Seven churches of Asia Minor. Each one a picture of the space of time in our world.
Yeah.
You know where we're living tonight? We are the Laodicean church age.
Sure.
We're neither hot nor cold. Mm-hmm. We're lukewarm. It's disgusting to God. Yeah. That's where we are. Yeah. Now let me show you something that's going to help you. You with me? Yeah. If this don't light your fire, your wood's rotten.
Amen.
That's where it's at. It ain't even wet. I agree with you, brother. Right here, it's going to be rotten if this don't help you. Revelation 3, verse 14 through 20. That's where we're living.
Yeah.
Revelation chapter number 4. That's where we're leaving.
Yeah. Amen.
Stay with me. You know what that means? That means where I'm living and where I'm leaving.
Amen.
It's on the same page.
Right.
Hey.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah, sir.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that again real loud so you can hear it. Where I'm living and where I'm leaving, it's on the same page.
Amen, man. Preacher.
You say, preacher, what you trying to say? I'm trying to tell you it's not time to give up because we're on the last page of the journey.
Yep, man. Amen.
It's about time to get out of here.
Hallelujah.
Jesus is coming back.
Hey. That's
it could
mighty
be
good.
Today. Oh, it could be today.
Yeah.
They have one thing he's waiting on. I don't know.
Come on.
I believe he's waiting on. I don't know who the last sinner is, but he's waiting on the last sinner to get born again.
Right.
And son, I believe when that sinner gets saved, boom, it's going to take place.
Right. Amen.
Son, wouldn't it be amazing if you was the last person to get saved?
Yeah. Amen.
Son, you're talking about the skin of your teeth, son. That's what it'd be right there.
Oh, yeah.
I ain't willing to risk that.
Come on.
I ain't willing to risk it.
Right.
Where I'm living, where I'm leaving. Last phase of the journey. Let me give you a story. About 20 years ago, I was a little boy. We was going out to South Dakota. My dad was preaching a revival up there, like a tent meeting for a missionary. We had a big old Greyhound bus at our church where I grew up, Walters Grove. And sent about 50 people. So we had a pack to the brim. And we got about 4 or 5 hours from where we was going to Pierce, South Dakota. It was 116 degrees outside. That is the truth. 116 degrees. And we was in the evening and we were headed west. You know what the sun's doing, don't you? But it's beating down on that bus. And we got about 4 or 5 hours away from South Dakota where we was headed. And the air condition on that bus went out. I'll never forget it. Hottest day I've ever had in my life. Hey, man, I'm telling you, it was hot. We're sweating like crazy. It's hot. We was complaining because we're Baptists. That's what we do. We was on that bus. And it was 116. Now, I'm not lying. It was truly 116 degrees outside. And the air conditioner went out. And Brother Tom was driving that bus. And he was a sweating bullets. I'll just be honest with you. That sun was beating down on that bus. And he was sweating like crazy at the front seat. And my dad was up at the front with the driver. And everybody was whining and complaining because it's so hot. And this is back in the day that you didn't have GPS on your cell phone, praise God. We had one of them big old books hanging. We had an atlas. Hey, man. Y'all know what I'm going to talk. Some of these kids have no clue. I'm just old enough to remember some things. Hey, man. I remember 4 weeks on vacation when I was a boy, my papa would put that big old thing out on the table and map out a route. He still does that. Let's just be honest. He ain't got with the times, praise the Lord. He's hilarious. We got to ride in that bus. It was hot. And everybody was whining and complaining.
Here's what my dad did. I'll never forget this as long as I was 7, 8 years old. I don't know. I was young. My dad held up that atlas. He held it up in front of the bus. And he pointed over here to Lexington, North Carolina, where we started from. And then he pointed way over here to Pierce, South Carolina, South Dakota, where we were headed. He said, this is where we started. This is where we're going. And right here is where we are.
Right.
Anybody want to turn around and go all the way back? You know what everybody said, don't you? About 5 minutes later, fell in the back of the church bus, come up to where Daddy was. And he held open his Bible. He said, hey, preacher, right there's where we started. Right there's where we're going. Right there's where we are.
Right.
You think we'll turn back now?
Come on, preacher. Come on.
Many dangers. Hey. Oh, praise the Lord. Son. Many dangers, toils and snares. We have already come.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
But His grace has brought us safe thus far.
Praise,
guess what,
preacher.
Son? I say His grace. His grace is going to take us through. I don't know about you, but son, I just want to get my jumping shoes on.
Preach,
stay faithful,
preacher.
Because it ain't going to be long that Jesus comes back.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, man, son, it ain't time to quit.
That's good, preacher.
It's time to get us faithful.
Preach, preacher.
It's time to get us faithful. It's time to get as serious as you've ever been, because Jesus is
about to come.
That lost loved one that you got. It ain't time to get frustrated.
Come on.
It ain't time to quit praying. Son, it's time to pray for them more than you've ever prayed in your life.
Yes, amen.
Because this could be the day that Jesus comes back.
Yep. Amen.
Are you ready? Is my question.
It's good preaching.
Are you ready?
Come on.
If Jesus came back right now, would you be involved in His coming?
Come on.
And if you would be, I say hallelujah. If you wouldn't be, you can get ready tonight.
Yep.
You ain't got to wait another day.
That's right.
You ain't got to wait another moment. You can call on the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, and He'll save you.
Yes, He will.
Let me ask you this. Brother Hutto, you make your way to that piano. Let me ask you a question tonight, Christian. Who do you know? Who do you know that if Jesus were to come back right now, who in your life do you know that if Jesus were to come back right now, that they wouldn't go with you?
Come on.
When's the last time you prayed for Him like you should? When's the last time you witnessed Him like you should? Jesus is coming, y'all. We better get serious about this thing. I'll ask you three questions tonight before we pray. And then I'm going to give you an altar call. We're going to do it different tonight. I want us to have our heads bowed and eyes closed tonight. No one's